Hello, I'm author Carnigaldon. Welcome to the next instalment of Wolf of the Plains.
Arslan had the surviving Tartar bound in a gear. The cries of the rest had been pitiful, and the warrior looked at them with hatred.
"You will kill me no matter what,"
he said, straining at the ropes behind his back. Temujin considered. He needed to know as much as possible about the Tartars. "If you hold nothing back, I give you my oath you will live." The Tartar slumped in relief, and Temujin spoke again before he could marshal his thoughts. "Why have you come into the lands of my people?"
"There is a blood price on your head. The Khans of the north want you dead," the Tartar said with grim pleasure. "They will hunt you down wherever you go."
"You do not hunt a man who comes looking for you," Temujin reminded him softly. "Your people murdered the Khan of the Wolves." He did not speak of Borte. That pain was still too bloody.
"I know who gave him to us as well," the Tartar replied.
Temujin's yellow eyes were fierce.
"Speak, and you will be safe. The Khan of the Olkunut took silver to send word to us."
Temujin stepped back. The Tartar's eyes flicked up as the door opened. He took in a sharp breath as he saw Yuan there.
"I know you,"
the Tartar said, yanking at his bound wrists in desperation. He turned to Temujin in clear terror.
"Please, I can—"
Yuan's blade cut through the Tartar's neck in a spray of blood. Temujin reacted with blinding speed, seizing Yuan's wrist and bearing him backwards until he came up against the wicker lattice wall and was pinned there. He held Yuan by the throat and hand, his face working in fury.
"I told him he would live! Who are you to bring dishonor to my word?"
Yuan could not reply. The fingers on his throat were like iron and his face began to grow purple. Temujin ground the bones in his wrist until the sword fell from his fingers and then shook him in rage, cursing. Without warning, Temujin let go, and Yuan fell to his knees. Temujin kicked his sword away.
"What secrets did he have, Yuan? How did he know you?" "I thought he was attacking you."
Yuan's voice was a hoarse croak. Temujin sneered. "On his knees? With his hands bound? You're a liar." Yuan looked up, his eyes blazing.
"I will accept your challenge, if you wish."
Temujin slapped him hard. "What are you hiding from me?" Arslan and Kachiyun came into the gear in a rush, their weapons drawn. Yuan took a deep breath and closed his eyes.
"I am ready for death, if you choose to take my life," he said calmly. "I have brought dishonor to you, as you said."
"How long has Wen Chao been among my people, Yuan?" Temujin asked. It seemed to take an effort of will for Yuan to answer, as if he had gone far away.
2 years.
"And before him, who did your first minister send?"
"I do not know," Yuan replied. "I was still with the army then."
"Your master has bargained with the Tartars," Temujin said softly. "The Khan of the Olkunut betrayed my father. How could the Tartars approach a great tribe to arrange such a thing? It would take an intermediary they both trusted, would it not?" He heard Kachiyun gasp behind him as the news sank in. "Did you travel to the Olkunut as well?"
"Before the Karait,"
Temujin went on. Yuan remained still as stone.
"You are talking of a time before my master was even in this land."
"Before Wen Chao, I wonder who else came among us," Temujin murmured. "I wonder how many times the Qin have sent their men into my lands, betraying my people. I wonder what promises they made." The world that had seemed so solid was crumbling. Temujin found himself almost dizzy with the revelations. "They would not want us to grow strong, would they, Yuan? They would want the Tartars and Mongols to tear each other to pieces. Is that not what Wen Chao said to me? That the Tartars had grown too strong, too close to their precious borders." Temujin closed his eyes, imagining the cold gaze of the Qin as they considered the tribes.
bind him until dawn. At first light, Temujin stood outside the Gears. He had not slept, and he felt fresh anger in his chest. There was no justice in the world unless he made it for himself. Unless he cut the Khan of the Olkhunut twice as deep as he had been cut. In the distance, he saw two scouts racing back, and frowned at their headlong pace. Their arrival had not gone unnoticed, and the camp came alive as men pulled on deals and armor and saddled their horses. He was proud of them. And Yuan? Temujin had conceived a liking for the man ever since he had fired an arrow at his chest in the camp of the Kerait. He did not want to kill him. As the scouts came closer, he saw one was Kassar, riding like a maniac. His horse was blowing and lathered in sweat, and Temujin felt alarm spread through the men. Temujin forced himself to remain still while Kassar rode up and jumped to the ground. The men had to see him untouched by their own fears. "What is it, my brother, to have made you ride so fast?" Temujin's voice was steady.
"More Tatars than I have ever seen," Kassar panted. "An army to make these we killed look like a raiding band."
"How many?" Temujin snapped.
"More than I could count. A day's ride at most, and ones we have killed are just the trailbreakers. There are hundreds of carts coming, maybe 1,000 men. I've never seen anything like it, brother, never."
Temujin grimaced. "Water your horse before it drops dead. Have the men mount and find a fresh pony yourself. I want to see this army that can frighten my little brother." Kassar snorted.
"I didn't say they frightened me, but I thought you might like to know. The entire Tatar nation is coming south for your head."
He grinned.
"By the spirits, Temujin. We stung and stung them, and now they are roaring. What are we going to do?"
"Wait, Kassar." Three men had escorted Yuan out into the grey light. His ropes had been cut. Temujin faced the Qin soldier. "I have come to think of you as a friend, Yuan. I cannot kill you today." Temujin passed him the reins of a pony. "Return to your master." Yuan mounted. He looked down at Temujin for a long moment.
"I wish you good fortune, my lord," he said at last.
Kassar's gaze followed the retreating soldier. "I imagine this means I have the left wing." Temujin chuckled. He looked round to find Jelme mounted and ready. "Take the men back to the Kerait. Tell them an army has gathered. Togrul will have to fight or run as he pleases."
"What about us?" Kassar said, bewildered.
"We need more men than the Kerait can put in the field."
Temujin turned his grim face to the south. "I will find the men. But we have another enemy we must face first." Temujin stood with arms outstretched as the bondsmen of the Olkhunut searched him thoroughly. Kassar and Arslan endured the same. The men who guarded Sansar's Gair sensed the grim mood of the visitors and missed nothing. All three wore Qin armor, and as a bondsman fingered the strange plates sewn into the heavy cloth, Temujin slapped his hand away at the affront.
"You may enter, and you,"
he pointed to Kassar.
"Your friend will have to wait out here."
Sansar was talking to two more of his bondsmen as Temujin entered. Their Tatar swords that Koke had carried in were carelessly piled against the wall, an indication of their value. Sansar stepped up to his seat. The Khan still had the look of a snake, with his shaved head and sunken eyes that were never still. It was hard for Temujin not to show his hatred, but he kept the cold face. The Olkhunut bondsmen took up positions on either side of their master, and Temujin forced himself to the courtesies owed to a Khan. "I am honored to be in your presence, my lord Sansar."
"Yet again," Sansar replied, "I thought I had seen the last of you. Why do you trouble me in my home, Temujin? I seem to see more of you than my own wives. What more could you possibly want from me?"
Temujin saw Koke smile out of the corner of his eye. "Perhaps you have heard of the Tatar army coming out of the north. I've seen them with my own eyes, and I've come to warn you." Sansar gave a dry chuckle.
"Every wanderer and herdsman for 1,000 miles is talking of them. The Olkhunut have no quarrel with the Tatars. We have not travelled that far north for 40 years.
His eyes gleamed as he leant forward in the chair.
"You have stirred them to war, Temujin, with your raids. You must accept the consequences.
They will not respect those tribes who claim no blood feud with them, my lord, Temujin continued. I saw 1,000 warriors, with as many women and children in their camp. They have come into our lands in greater force than anyone can remember. I'm appalled, Sansar said, smiling. What then do you propose to do?
Stand in their way,
Temujin snapped, his temper fraying under the older man's evident amusement.
With the Kerate?
Oh, I have heard of your alliance, Temujin. The news spreads quickly when it is something so interesting. But I don't think Togrul can bring more than 300 warriors to that particular feast.
Temujin took a slow breath, mastering himself. The Ulkunut archers have a high reputation, my lord.
With another 300 of your men, I could...
He broke off, as Sansar chuckled.
I'm sorry, but the idea...
He shook his head.
You expect the Ulkunut to ride back under your command?
The Tatars will take us one tribe at a time, Temujin said, taking a step forward in his need to persuade the Khan. The bondsmen tensed, but Temujin ignored them. How long will you be safe, once the Kerate have been destroyed? The Kirai, the Naemans.
We have remained apart for so long, you forget. We are one people.
Sansa's voice was almost a whisper. I know no brothers in the Kerate. Run, Temujin. You will not have my warriors. When Temujin spoke, it was as if each word was wrung out of him.
I have silver ingots captured from the Tatars.
Give me a price per man, and I will buy them from you.
Sansa threw his head back to laugh, and Temujin moved. With a savage jerk, he snapped one of the iron plates from his armor and leapt forward, jamming it into Sansar's throat. Blood splashed his face as he ripped the metal edge back and forth. As the bondsmen broke from shock and drew their swords, Kassar's fist hammered into the nose of the closest man. He too held a piece of sharpened iron, torn from where he and Temujin had weakened the threads in the armor. He cut the throat of the second bondsman in a vicious swipe. The man fell, with his legs kicking in spasms. The bondsman Kassar had punched surged forward in mindless rage. Temujin, covered with blood, leapt from the broken body of the Khan and hammered him to the floor. Kassar plunged his companion's sword through the bondsman's chest. Only Koke stood then, his mouth open in speechless horror. As Temujin and Kassar turned their hard eyes on him, he backed away in desperate fear.
I'm your cousin. Let me live. For your mother, at least.
Outside, Temujin could hear shouts of alarm and knew his life hung in the balance.
Get out!
Koke almost broke the hinges in his hurry to get the door open. Temujin saw Arslan's swords on the wall and reached for them as he heard the shouts and clatter of men assembling outside. He looked at Kassar, his yellow eyes cold.
Now, brother, are you ready to die?
They stepped out into the spring sunshine. Arslan stood a pace away from the door, two bodies lying at his feet. Temujin did not expect to survive the next few moments, but they had both insisted on coming.
He is dead,
Temujin said, as he pressed Arslan's sword into his hand. He looked past him to the chaos of the Ulkunut warriors. Many held drawn bows, but they hesitated without orders, and Temujin took the chance before they could find calm and shoot them down.
Stand still and be silent,
he roared. If anything, the noise of fear and rage increased, but those who were close by paused. Temujin was reminded of the way animals could freeze in the stare of a hunter until it was too late.
I claim the Ulkunut by right of conquest,
he bellowed.
You will not be harmed, on my oath.
On instinct, Temujin took two paces forward, moving towards a group of Sansa's bondsmen. The risk was greatest there. A single hesitation, and they would erupt into a spasm of violence. Humiliation battled with anger in their faces as Temujin raised his voice again.
I am Temujin of the Wolves. You know my name. My mother was Ulkunut. My wife is Ulkunut. My children will be. I claim the right of inheritance through blood. In time, I will bring all the other tribes under my banners.
Still, the bondsmen did not respond. Temujin kept his blade low by his feet, knowing that to raise it would trigger his death. He saw drawn bows sighted at him, and forced calm onto his face.
"Do not fear when you hear the horns of the Watchers," he said to the bondsman. "It will be my men, but they have orders not to touch my people."
They had begun to lose the pale shock of the first moments, but he did not know what they would do.
"I know you are furious, but you will be honored as I take my people north against the Tatars," he told them. "You will revenge my father's death, and we will be one tribe across the face of the plains, one people, as it should always have been. Let the Tatars fear us, then. Let the Chin fear us."
He saw their tense hands begin to relax and struggled to keep his triumph from showing on his face. He heard the alarm horn sound and once more sought to reassure the crowd.
"Not one of the Ulkonauts will be harmed. I swear it on my father's soul, not by my men. Let them through and consider the oath I will ask you to take."
He looked around at the crowd and found them staring back, every eye on his.
"You have heard? I am a wild wolf to the Tatars, that I'm a scourge to them. You have heard my word is iron. I tell you now, the Ulkonaut are safe under my hand."
He watched as Catchion and his 10 men rode slowly through the crowd. The crowd held its silence as Catchion and his men dismounted.
"I will see the bondsmen privately and take their oath,"
Temujin said to the crowd.
"At sunset, I will take yours. Do not be afraid. Tomorrow, the camp will move north to join the Karait, our allies."
He looked around, seeing that the drawn bows had been lowered at last. He nodded stiffly to the archers.
"I have heard the Ulkonaut are feared in battle," he said. "We will show the Tatars that they may not come into our lands unpunished."
A heavy-set man shouldered his way through the crowd from the rear. Temujin watched him come, his triumph evaporating. He had known Sansar had sons. The one who approached bore the same features as his father, though on a more powerful frame. "Where is my father?" the man demanded. The bondsmen turned to see him, and many of them bowed their heads automatically. Temujin set his jaw tight, ready for them to rush him. His brothers tensed at his side, and every man there was suddenly holding a blade or an axe. "Your father is dead," Temujin said. "I have claimed the tribe." "Who are you to speak to me?" the man demanded. Before Temujin could reply, Sansa's son snapped a command at the bondsmen standing ready. "Kill them all!" No one moved, and Temujin felt a spark of hope. "It is too late," he said softly. "I have claimed them by blood and conquest. There is no place for you here." Sansa's son opened his mouth in amazement, looking round at the people he had known all his life. They would not meet his eyes, and his face slowly became a cold mask. "Then I claim the right to challenge you. If you would take my father's place, you will have to kill me, or I will kill you." He spoke with absolute certainty, and Temujin felt a pang of admiration for the man. "I accept," he said, "though I do not know your name." Sansa's son rolled his shoulders, loosening them. "My name is Paliak, Khan of the Ulkonaut." It was a brave statement, and Temujin bowed his head rather than refute it. He walked back to Arslan and took the fine sword from his fingers. "Kill him quickly," Arslan hissed under his breath. "If they start to cheer him, we're all dead."